listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron alongside Wayne Fritz. Wayne, what's going on?
I've done terrific, man.
Man. All right, here we are. Another year, and the Cowboys beat the Giants, and everybody's saying, how about them boys?
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was quite a game last night.
It was. I must say it was.
History book.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you're not letting yourself go down that rabbit hole, are you?
Oh, no. We haven't won the Super Bowl.
There you go.
We won one game.
Exactly.
And the big thing on the news this morning was the 11 hours that Dak was sedated while he got his new tattoo.
There you go.
It's all over his leg, I guess. And they said that he was sedated for 11 hours. So, we won our opening game.
Hey.
We got a lot of games to go.
A lot of games to go.
There was a lot of good football this weekend, college and pro.
Well, I've been following Deion Sanders last couple of weeks really close. And my Facebook feed, I've been putting up Deion stuff. I'm really enjoying his transformation now that he's in this position, really doing good things with that ball club. Incredible roster changes, brings incredible amount of energy. I mean, he's the only college coach that has his own contract with Nike. Ain't hard to find. He has, I think, a Louis Vuitton bag as well. And so he's the only, you know, college coach that actually the coach is probably selling more merchandise than any of the players.
But, you know, it's interesting, Bruce, about a coach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those boys got off the bus. And they were all wearing custom-made suits.
Oh, yeah.
By Michael Strahan. And on the inside of the jackets, that silk part, was the Buffalo. They're the Buffaloes. Is that what they are? Yeah. That was in there. And their name was in there. They had on primetime ties. What he did is he dressed them for success.
Yeah.
Everything they're talking. You know, and that's important in coaching. You know, we need to dress people for success. There's some messages we learn from every walk of life that we can use in coaching. Just some of the smallest things we think about that we don't think about. It's like making sure that your shoes are shined. Have you ever heard the expression, you never get a second chance to make a good
first impression?
And people look at your shoes. Mm-hmm. They do, and when they're old, ugly, old, crummy, bummy, they notice that. Or if your fingernails are dirty. But they notice, people look at your shoes. And if you're dressed for success, just wanted to bring that up. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I love it because it gets us back to some of the old school fundamentals, man. When I was at work and I'm on quote orders or whatever, and I'm flying in a plane, I'm wearing a suit, Wayne.
Yes.
I was wearing a suit. Guy sitting in a damn plane.
That's right.
I might burn up the whole day on travel, but since the boss is paying for travel, I'm wearing a damn suit on the plane. Period. Because I'm on the clock.
I did that. That's the way you do things. And listen, when you were working in the prison system too, those old boys, they had shiny shoes.
Yeah.
You know, That was part of your training, was how to shine a shoe. It does come down to the basics of coaching. And if, you know, as a leader, because a coach normally is a leader. A coach is a leader of some type in some category.
Right.
And as a leader, you know, you lead by example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, don't do as I say and not as I do. You got to walk the walk also. And Deion walks. And I come back to, he's good. He's made his mark. You know, football, baseball, He's primetime Deion Sanders, and you can't ever take that away from that man. But I tell you, he brought something to that team who never was. They whooped up on Nebraska, and nobody thought they would.
But look here, they got Oregon, they got Utah. There's a couple of big teams.
Yes.
And we were
losing sometime. Right. They're going to lose someday. We always do, somehow.
Right.
But he's got them on the right track.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They're respecting themselves. He's developing into a good coach. And that's a big plus.
Boy, I tell you what, that second press conference of his, yes, night and day different than the first press conference. Boy, it was just really regular. Hey, we need to make these adjustments. These other kids are working real hard. We're going to take them off the shelf so they can showcase their talents. What else is going on? Okay, what else is going on? And he really didn't have that bone to pick from old wounds. And I tell you, I got a lot of vicarious pleasure because people gave him a hard time, you know. And I always tell folks, you know, I always say, look, man, you can call somebody a narcissist, but if they give the glory to God and not to themselves, is that narcissism? No. I mean, so, and then further, some of the narcissists that are narcissists, they don't got crap to show for it.
That's right.
This man has stuff to show.
Yes.
Who gets drafted by the Kansas City Royals the day after high school?
Yeah.
Deion does. That's who. Yeah. I mean, he is probably one of the God's creations as far as a physical specimen and stuff.
I sat next to him on the plane a couple of times. When he was doing it, was out in California. I think he was doing one of the shows on Sunday, NFL. Michael Irvin was also, because they would both be on the plane coming back on the midnight flight.
Right.
I was coming back from the Philippines several times and connected through LA, and we sat in first class together. Both of them were real nice, real regular kind of guys when you're talking to them. And I know that Michael Irvin likes vodka cranberry juice. And that guy is a big old guy. His legs were too long for first class.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Wayne, you gave him a run for his money. I know you gave Deion a run for his money.
Yeah, I can do that.
Not exactly.
We don't want to say run to either one of them, but because I couldn't run those guys. Oh, boy, they were good. But when you go through the college thing, you know, Texas, the Longhorns won, and they weren't figured to win. And they jumped up from 17 to third place just for that big win that they did. Unfortunately, the Aggies, that Burnett, thank you. I was watching that too. But the Hogs, I got a friend up there in Arkansas. But it all comes down, you know, it does come down to coaching. There was a guy with a direct sales company that gave a talk with us. And this direct sales company, I won't mention them, but they were big in their field.
Okay.
I'm 20,000-30,000 units a month. And this was a high dollar item.
Okay. And
today that'd be high dollar would be 3,000 plus.
Right. Okay?
And they were doing 20,000-30,000 a month. They got bought by a company that was not a sales company. It was like a Hathaway, you know, like, oh, what's his name? Warren Buffett or something. One of those, just a company bought them.
Gotcha.
And they start going down, and they went down for many years. Now they're probably doing around 2,000-3,000 a month. And the question this guy asked, who this guy had built the largest organization that company had ever seen, and then was the president for a long time, and they were in their big heydays. And he said, do you think that had anything to do with leadership? And his final statement was, it had everything to do with leadership. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, that's coaching. It has everything to do with leadership.
Right.
When you look at your famous coaches, Vince Lombardi, you look at Do Right. I'll think of his name in a minute. Yeah, not Dudley Do Right, but that what he did a video on Do Right, Avoid Doing Wrong, Be Committed to Action. Lou Holtz. Lou
Oh,
Holtz.
yeah.
But there's a guy that took three different teams, three different colleges, and took them from zero to hero, you know, to national champs. He was a good leader. And he was very basic, very honest, but he was a good, you knew how he'd do it. Matter of fact, he interviewed his coaches. And he would say, you know what I would do? Because he believed in do right, avoid doing wrong, be committed to excellence, treat others as you like to be treated. And there's always three questions people are asking in their minds.
Yes.
Can I trust you? Are you committed to excellence? And do you care about me? And as a good coach, you have to answer all three of those yes. And so he said, if you ever come across anything, if you got any questions, well, you know how I'd handle it. If it goes past that, feel free to give me a call. Otherwise, go do your job. And he let him go run
right.
Their coaching. And that's a good leader.
That is a good leader.
So anyway, I'm sorry, I got off subject all the way.
Let's keep the ball rolling. I know in our pre-production meeting today, we talked about you're going to be flying somewhere northwest, yeah. and you're going to be talk a little bit about what you're.
Well, in September. Well, it is September, isn't it? I'm going to be flying up to Vancouver. I'm being flown up there, and put up in a hotel to do coaching and training for 3 days.
Is it
a small
group or individual?
It's a group. It actually be a group and individual, but it's a small company, but they're committed. And there's been some movement already, going up. So they want to fly me in to
Excellent.
Do more. And that's nice. That's it. And that's all coaching.
Is it more sales improvement? Is it more, what can you
do? With the group, it's going to be more sales improvement. Individual, it's going to be more growth, more personal coaching.
So sales and growth. So
yes.
Two aspects. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a hard and fast paced 3 days, but it'll be good. And then I've got the big company, the mothership, that wants me to go do some coaching around the country. And so they're trying
nice.
To put something together there.
Yeah, okay. So again, here's a public announcement for some folks that I know I work with a lot, and for you young folks out there listening to this, and some of you folks that are actually my coachees listening to this, this is Wayne is the example of, to a lesser extent me, but Wayne was in an industry, mastered the industry, if you will, mastered some things, you know, more or less retires from the industry, Wayne. Let me, hopefully I won't get shot here. More or less what retires from the industry, comes back into the industry as a free agent, independent contractor to coach and guide and actually monetize, if you will, monetize all of his experience and strength to move forward with the next generations, plural, in that company. And so, and as a matter of fact, Wayne, and I've said this, I think you were just about as busy. Sometimes you're busier than you were when you were working with the company.
Yep, some days. Yep.
And that is a good thing, man. That is a good thing. So, you know, it's
Bruce. I'd like to give the accolades where they belong. And I was just telling this vice president this morning that you are the guy that got me to go to coaching.
Oh, I am.
You saw something that I had no idea about.
I am.
And you called it out, and you kind of helped me get it developed.
Absolutely.
So that I owe you a slap on the back and a big orange drink always.
Man, I appreciate that, and you and family members, other people I've worked with. Yeah, I mean Neil Williams, former all our former co-hosts. All became coaches and are doing really well in their respective practices. And it just makes me so proud to see people thrive. You know, when you're in this industry, you're getting paid to be yourself, more or less.
Yep.
I like that a lot, man. Because if I'm marching to the tune of a boss or some other random company's vision, I'm not necessarily myself all the way. So I do appreciate that. Couple of things. So there's that, man. That's awesome. I'll be going to Austin. I have a tech client, and we're at a point now in our coaching. In traditional coaching, we do what's called a 360 assessment, interview parents and coworkers and supervisors. Don't have quite that dynamic with this case, but I am going to interview the supervisor. Okay. And the supervisor in this case is the CEO of a tech, fairly prominent tech company in the Austin area. So a really, really smart, hard charging millennial. I know it's almost an oxymoron, but basically the millennial, the new boomer. And they'll hate to hear you. But the older millennials are the new boomers. I love it. I just love it. Yeah. They're pretty conservative. They want to keep their money. They want to work hard, for, you know, stuff like that. Just absolutely love it. Anywho, so I'm going down to do that. So that'll be fun. Here's a message to older coaches, to newer clients. So I consider myself, you know, the older coach. My client's in his mid-20s. Let me say that again, mid-20s in this tech startup, as you might imagine, right? I guess that makes him a Gen Zer. But anyway, but he's more of a Gen, I mean, he's more of a millennial thinker, even though he's a Gen Z, because he's also in the C-suite of the operation. So you said earlier about leading by example, which is, it's really interesting, right? Because I'm really consistent, right? Here's one for you, Wayne. Repetition is reputation.
Ooh. Everybody write that down. That's a good one. That's a keeper.
Yeah. Repetition is reputation. And so because of my consistency, because of the way I kind of, you know, and so it's really interesting, right? Am I going to expect my coaching client who's 25 years old to emulate a 60-some-odd-year-old guy? No. I mean, so in this venue, like, what am I going to display as a 60-some-year-old coach to a mid-20s guy that's going to help him? What am I going to display? A great bowling shirt. Gray hair. Just kidding. What really matters is helping this client make the next right decision. Helping this client make the next right decision in his work, in his vision. We're doing stuff personally, relationship-wise, you know what I mean? Health, his leisure, you know, because when you're in the C-suite of a high-pressure tech startup, every hour matters. And of course, every hour matters for me and you and everybody else. I'm not saying that, but in any event, right? So don't, when I was hired, I was actually honored and shocked. And I said, okay, this is, you know, my background and what I do. And we'll see if it's a good fit. Because it is a stretch, but I had done clients like this before, and you know what? You could put, in some respects, you could put a 55-year-old guy in this guy's chair; he'd be dealing with the same stuff. You know what I mean? He's gonna deal with the same stressors in that tech startup. So it's a 55-year-old guy in that chair, a 35-year-old guy in that chair or woman, 25-year-old guy or gal in the chair, it is what it is, right? You put somebody on a boat on a river that's flowing north to south. They're on a river that's flowing.
They're on a river flowing north or south.
Doesn't matter who's in the boat, because yeah, that's where they're going. Okay. So anyway, so it's been kind of fun. It's been kind of fun with this young man in this case, and seeing him mature. I think he's maturing quicker. Right? I mean,
yep.
You can mature as a function of time just by breathing. I am more mature in my 60s than I was in my 40s. Make no mistake about it. But that was about 20 years of breathing. Now, how great that could have been. But to get that kind of wisdom, or I guess I'll say wisdom and peace and tranquility and forward moving momentum way quicker for far less the trial and error.
That's normal.
Yeah. And so, you know, man, you know, if I was your sidekick in Vancouver, and I said, hey, you know, folks, you know, we're here to help, you know, give you all some ideas and tips and techniques and whatever else, and then the coaching relationship to help you do what would take somebody a year or 2 years, maybe takes you a couple of months, you know, because you're just winning. You're making, you know, you're making positive winning decisions. So yeah.
Bruce, that's why you always want to hang around with people that are better than you. You know, when you play golf, you want to play golf with somebody that plays golf better than you do. You want, because it will help push you.
Right.
John Maxwell, I still love that guy. And there's people in your life that influence you. And there's people that can influence bad and good. You want to be around the ones that can be good influencers, mentors, coaches. Even if they're not, you know, I've had coaches in my life that they were coaching me. I had no idea they were. And I guess that would be a mentor. But you run into those people and you never forget them. I was talking to this younger vice president today and mentioning a guy that knew years ago that mentored me, one of my mentors. And what that means when you get somebody in your life like that. And I think, as you know, 25, 30 years ago, a coach was somebody on a basketball team, a football team, or baseball team. You didn't have coaches in business.
Right.
But today, fortunately, I think you do.
Right.
And I'm not saying that because you got me into coaching. I'm saying that because it really helps.
Yeah.
Or it can help. If you develop your coaching skills, you can be you can get that person, just like you said, that they can get from point A to point B instead of just through breathing. They can get there much more quickly with some good, solid coaching. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's like an old friend of mine told me, he said, invest and enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, how much money do we spend on hair products, bowling shirts, haircut, aftershave, razor blades, and all that's on the outside. How much do we spend on the inside?
Right.
That thing right here.
Yeah.
That's where coaching can really benefit a person. If you know, they reach out and find a good coach.
Yeah, I mean, and even looking at that label of coach, you know, if a buddy of mine, here's a buddy of mine, he's an orthopedic surgeon. I've known him since fifth grade. I had the blessing to know him before he became doctor. But I mean, everybody in this guy's life, even except for his own kids, doctor. So, and I noticed that about coaches, right? Coaches that are sports coaches in particular, that are retired or whatever. As a matter of fact, one of my old football coaches from high school is still alive. And I hit him up on Facebook. I called him Hey, coach, what's going on, coach? Jose Pache is his name. Hey, Coach Pache, you seen Coach Sweatman? What's going on? Right? So that coach title endures forever. And say what you want, the coach title is a title of leadership.
Yep.
And yep. I know that we say here in coaching school, good coaches have good questions, and there's no rank. Don't get me wrong, there's no rank, right? But it is, you know, there's the client and there's the coach. Yep. And coach is this designation in some way of leadership.
That's exactly right. A coach, if they're around you a lot, and the more they're around you, if I were to go get a coach today, first, when you and I met, Bruce, I was a little like this, you know.
I mean, kind of, for a minute.
But you get, because you're not kind of open. And that, the coach and the coachee take a while to get acquainted.
Yeah.
You know, because in the first part of being a coach, you're the boss to get a grip. But you have to, but you are the leader. And so you have to understand that it's kind of like the 7 habits of highly effective people. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. You know, a coach wants to listen.
Right.
Coach, they listen. They've got to know their team, but they bring, then they look at their person that they're coaching, and a good coach then will see things that person won't see about themselves. And a good coach will reach in and he'll dig down in deep down inside them through a relationship, mm-hmm. and he'll draw out what he sees in there that can help them excel. And if there's people in life that are 50, 60, 70, 80 years old that didn't have the benefit of having a good football coach or a basketball coach or a coach in their life, that they could have really, kind of like Marlon Brando said, I could have been a contender, you know, but they didn't have that blessing to have a coach.
Right.
So to see what was in them and to bring that strength out.
Right. So in the sporting sense, there's routine, there's schedule, there's rigor, yeah. there's exertion, there's a schedule, there's yielding, there's pushing yourself beyond what you thought you could do. There's this more physical and demanding coach drawing the best out of you through exertion. I felt that way. I just felt that way in graduate school, man. I mean, I had to read like 500-600 pages a week of stuff. I mean, I didn't think I could do it, Wayne. I mean, these doctors, you know, they go through med school and whatever, and you think, man, you know, it's just an inordinate amount of work and material and time, and you push yourself. At least for me, I pushed myself, you know, at least intellectually, you know, to the limit. And I'm glad I went through that experience. I'm glad that I was tested through that, right? I was glad I went through that test. And so this type of coaching, what we're doing is, look, I mean, for the most part, we wouldn't have clients unless our clients were missing something, exactly. or they wanted something better in their lives, right? Otherwise, why would they be in front of us?
That's right.
Okay. So there's a couple of ways to do that, right? And there is the whole whistle and go, right. You know what I mean? I mean, if it was a mixed martial, you know, these guys, you know, if it was more of an athletic thing, we know that paradigm, but what we're doing, we're going through another paradigm by looking under the hood and seeing if there's, you know, what's the self-limiting thought in that area or two or three that's getting in the way of their growth and development, and then getting them to conquer that and do these other actions, right?
Yep.
In this one case, where my client was like, man, I really love to do this, and this. And I'm like, you know, you do that. You just go out there and you be the captain of this, and this, and report back to the CEO and just say your project, and I just made up a title out of my ass. Your project managing XYZ, and then bring that back and just say, hey. And so then so much good came of that. It nearly crowded out all the self-doubt he had in a tertiary area that now he doesn't really care about because he had so many wins in all these other areas. But when he first started the coaching relationship, that was a big area and a big concern. Now it was that, here we go. Well, there we go. That big now, you know, that big, right? Because he had all these wins, you know, all these wins and these. And so what we're doing is we're crowding out the negativity with good stuff.
I coached someone that wasn't real successful. Well, and it goes along with your example, but yours was a good one. Mine went the other way because, you know, they have to be willing to heed your coaching. If they, and this one was that they had some ideas to make their department better. Mm-hmm. And they talked to their superior about it, the CEO of the company. They're on a level where they can talk to the CEO.
Okay.
And my coaching brought up, because he has to go to the board with these ideas. So my comment and my assignment was, put this between the four corners of a piece of paper when you present it. Don't just talk it.
Right.
You know, you can do a very basic PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Here's the problem. Here's how I see to solve it. A, B, C, just real short, but it's on paper. Mm-hmm. And they can see it while you're presenting. It comes across so much louder and more clear, and they know that you put effort in. Well, now that was followed. It was just blah, 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 and then disappointed because it wasn't received as well as they thought it would be received. And you know, if you're removed from the situation and you're training someone or teaching them and trying to coach them, it really works better if you put it between the four corners of a page. Books will tell us that. History tells us that. Personal experience can tell us that. It's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Or like Johnny Carson said, you can lead a horse to water, but if you can make him roll over and bark, you really got something. So mine wasn't quite as a success story as yours. But, and then they got angry because I said, did you write it down? Nope. I just said it. Oh, okay. That's your choice.
You know, and then that's the whole living life on life's terms thing. And then when you have a setback, try to then coach some form of resilience. Okay. That didn't go so well. Let's take a step back. What happened? What can we learn? What can we do different next time? What adjustments can we make next time? And look, I have those. I mean, all of my coaches don't hit the ball out of the park on the first pitch. So, I mean, but then we learn from that and we take a step back, make adjustments and see if that works. And then the fact that they have somebody with them to do that, I think, means a lot, you know. I don't work for the company. I'm not rating their performance. I'm not the one signing their paycheck. I'm not the one, you know, it's still this kind of judgment-free zone because I'm their coach, right? I'm not going to judge them. Let's go back and we live life on life's terms. We go back, what happened? How can we deal with it? Let's move forward again, building that resilience based on the reality that we live in a fallen world, you know, based on the reality that people are going to be greedy or stupid or narcissistic or make whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, this is the world we live in. So we got to understand and have some resilience to be able to navigate that a little bit when it rears its ugly head. God, brother. I mean, I've been dealing with some other consulting clients, not coaching clients. I mean, they think They think I'm the damn drive-through window at Burger King. Well, I want this and I want that. When will this be done? I'm like, you realize you're dealing with the Federal Bureau of Prisons? What, you know, when was the last time they got anything done besides process your release date? I mean, you know, come on, folks. And so, I have to put on my patience hat consulting people. And
that's a good point. You know, as a coach, patience, you really do have to have patience. And you should, I mean, as a coach, this is for the people listening and watching. Really, patience is a big thing. You as a coach, you never want to overreact. You don't want to react right now. You've got all the time in the world to go. Right. That's a good point. Let's consider that. You know, take your time and step away a minute. Bruce, you mentioned something about 360.
The 360 evaluation.
Man, I'm gonna. If you've ever been through one of those will turn you naked.
Hey, I did, and they would.
I went through it. Oh, those will make you naked.
Wayne, the FBI would go through my trash once every 7 years, and they'd ask my neighbors if they thought I was a homosexual. Because back in the day, that was considered a liability. You have any reason to believe that Mr. Cameron is a homosexual? This is, I shit you not, this is back in the 90s. And the OPM investigations would come, and they'd have an investigator come out, go through your trash. Good Lord, how invasive is that? So, yeah, man, I've been there.
We did that in the company. It's just crazy. 360 evaluations. Oh, my gosh. You can find out some stuff.
Oh man,
you better be ready to take some arrows, because your superiors and your underlings, they'll both shoot arrows.
Oh yeah, you're the client and the recipient of the 360.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yep. It should be brutal.
As the coach delivering the data from a 360 to a client, you be on top of your game on how you deliver that information.
Yeah. Yep.
If you just go there, the piece of paper.
Yeah, here's the 360.
John Doe said this, your wife said this, your secretary. So I would have all kinds of fun with that. Well, what do you think Mr. Jones said about you? I just want to hear, before we go through the data, I want to hear some of your thoughts. What do you think Mr. Jones said? What do you think your wife said about you?
Yeah.
Then really compare, and I like to do that. I'd like to compare their sense of what the person said with what they really said.
Yes.
And then now that is a coaching moment, like part of the 360.
Yes.
Is looking at the variance between what they believe and what actually this other person said. So just a whole lot of fun. That 360, you could make that 360 into, depending on how many people, you could make that into 2 months of coaching.
Yep.
Just delivering the feedback.
Yeah.
That, yep. You know what I mean?
But you better get, you want to be sure, like you said, handle that right. You don't just lay that piece of paper in front of what John said or what their spouse said.
Yeah, I never write up, you know.
You talk, that'd be World War III.
I would take notes and I would say 360 performed, and just have a couple of general points that went to the official logs or whatever. And
No.
So always real careful. By the way, coaches, make sure you take notes after every coaching session. I know some of you feel like you don't have to do that because you don't have a license, but you should do that. You should take notes and say, I met with Wayne today at 1:55 p.m. Central Time, and me and Wayne talked about this, and we had a good visit, and I'll see Wayne again soon. And we terminated at 50 minutes after the hour, and blah, blah, blah. So I have this, you know, record of my interaction with Wayne.
Yep.
And because you never know when you're gonna need it, you know.
So you want to take those notes and keep them filed, because if you don't think you need them, I tell people that you need them for the same reason that God gave men breasts. And that is, he knew that they would never need them, but he put them there just in case.
Yes.
And you want to keep those notes just in case.
In case.
I mean, you never need them.
Oh, on the consulting side, whenever I, I'd make a call, email, do this, do this, do this, and I'd write down a log of the activity on the consulting side. And say, well, I feel like you could have, hold on a minute. I've already spent 27 hours and here's what I've done. I have this, and I just print out this long log of stuff I've done to the tune of $200 an hour. I'm like, as a matter of fact, I think you owe me money. But, okay, it's only happened a couple of times where I was pissed off. But having those logs and having that data really objectifies the work that you've performed either as a coach or a consultant. And of course, all my therapists out there, I know you're taking progress notes for God's sakes, and you have a file on your clients behind two locked doors for insurance and malpractice purposes. So anyway, you need to do that. So, man, that's exciting, man. Got the big plane ride and
it's maybe a good time of year to be out in Vancouver.
Too. Maybe old Deion Sanders will be up with you and you just lay over in Denver. See some.
I have a direct flight, but it's a good flight.
Of course you do, Wayne. Of course.
I don't connect. I go direct.
You go direct.
Good old American Airlines.
American Airlines.
Yes.
American Airlines. Yeah, man. Hey, there's a little known route from Charlotte to Munich. It's a direct flight from Charlotte, North Carolina to Munich. It's a double secret way to get across over there.
Yeah.
In one stop. Isn't that something?
I like that.
Yeah, it's only like 350 round, so.
Now that's what out of where, Charlotte?
Charlotte, North Carolina to Munich, Germany.
I'll be darned. That's interesting. I'm going to look at that.
DFW is opening up Madrid, 8 nonstops to Spain, but that's going to be a high dollar. But
I may be going to around Frankfurt here pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Visit some. Yeah, I go to a place called Castle with a K.
All right.
Yeah.
Wayne, you can take that flight, save some money, take a train to Castle.
That's what I'd like to do.
Take a train. Get that first class train with the.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if I can find old Hercule Perot.
There you go.
Maybe solve the mystery. Murder on the Orient Express or something.
Absolutely, man. Don't say that. Come true. So you be careful.
Hey, speaking of coaching, this way off the subject because, hey, we're going to wrap up pretty soon. Well, Bruce, have you seen that any of that new series? It's in its third season of Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin.
I saw one episode. It was funny.
Oh, I've been into it. I just love it. And Martin Short. Oh, they're just, what a threesome. They are so funny and good. Good cast, good writing, and a lot of guest stars.
You think there's any writing? I bet those guys are ad-libbing that stuff most of
the time. Martin, they got to be. Especially Mark.
Come on, both man.
Selena Gomez. No, Selena Gomez. She's the Grand Prairie girl.
Yes.
They really liked her when she read for them. And she's really good in that series. She just plays a really good part. It's a good writing, good everything. If you want to get into a quirky series in this season, this one of the guest stars in every episode is not Michelle Pfeiffer. Go watch it.
Thurman.
No, she was in the movie with Goldie Hawn, Death Becomes Us. You know who I'm. You know who I'm talking about. I know you do. She's a big star. Big star. She was in Mamma Mia. She was a star of Mamma Mia.
Jane Fonda or something.
No, she's blonde, tall. I'm trying to think of it. I won't be able to.
Sharon.
And I could have just said it right off the top of my head. I cannot believe it. No, this is crazy.
Sorry. Anyway.
Yep. Anyway.
You're burning. Yeah. No. I'm just kidding. Well, look. Yeah, I mean, well, good times ahead, man, and glad we were able to circle the wagons a little bit, talk about some of our respective coaching cases and what we're doing and how we kind of see this. Meryl Streep, of course. God,
she
got blonde hair though, right?
Yeah, she's got blonde hair. She plays it, it's a good part. So anyway.
I don't know, folks. I'm gonna go with she has auburn red ish.
I like that. Yeah.
But
yeah, we've circled the wagons. We've had a good time today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Get some good guests on here. And man, just like I said, you know, our past guests, you know, check out our last show with Detective Daniel Gomez. Oh, fan.
Awesome show.
Lead guy from Cheaters. I got some people in the can coming up here. We're gonna bring in some stellar guests coming our way. But anyway, I think you know, we appreciate everybody's listening and support. And you know, our Facebook group, Concierge Coaches Show, has all the shows where we have guests. And those shows are on the Facebook group, okay? So you can get those. You can get them from LA Talk Radio. You can download the shows. You can view the shows. And you can listen to the shows all for free. And so that's a marvelous thing that LA Talk Radio does. And also, we're on Apple Podcast. And the shows are all on Apple Podcasts. We're so happy about that. And then I believe now all the shows are on Amazon Audible, Wayne. And that's a marvelous thing. And then we also got picked up by iHeartMedia. So a lot of the shows are organically on. Yeah, so we've really been blessed.
We're blessed. That's just what I was going to say.
That these other aggregators pick us up and see value in this program. Although I'm a little long-winded, but that's okay because we only have a couple more minutes. So we talked about the different touch points to the show. I can be reached on conciergecoach.net. I'm making some changes to my website, but I'll talk about that next time. Adding a new feature onto my service offering. So I'm continuing to finish that out. And it'll be fun, a fun paradigm of coaching. So we'll keep you all apprised on that. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Well, Bruce, they can still reach me by wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And so, well, folks, there it is. Another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Be with us next time, whether it'll be myself and Wayne, or we'll have another fantastic guest that I know that you'll want to see and listen to and download the podcast to refer to. So until that time, everybody have a great and blessed week. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
Take care. See ya.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz only.